like our content? It's funded by viewers like you. Please consider becoming a sustaining supporter of New Church Live today.
So, great big good morning. Good morning. It's wonderful to have you folks here today. We have a wonderful service ahead for you because it's Easter. And Easter's always this wonderful time to celebrate, to think about God, to think about life in ways where we can look at endings and see beginnings, and we can just get this beautiful sense of spring, this beautiful sense of life and love. And how do we live really deeply? Like, I love this idea, and I talked about it yesterday at a memorial service, this idea of the little dash. And this little dash is our little life, our years here, you know, between when we're born and when we're called home. And it's just this little dash. How do we live fully into that? And so much of the Easter story, I think, is to talk about, yeah, this is how Jesus did that. This is what happened at a big level in terms of God and all these beautiful things. And then down to us. Down to the way we're supposed to live too, in the face of all the challenges of life, which is that God put us here so that we could live a life and thrive. Really learning how to love, really learning how to care, really learning how to face hard times, really learning how to hold good times, really how to learn how to hold all of life. So friends, it is wonderful to have you joining us here today on this Easter Sunday. I know we have folks from all over the country joining us this morning. We want to give you a warm welcome to today's service as well. We have a beautiful service, and you know, no matter what I say, the music today is even better. It's just such good music today. So I hope you enjoy that as well. The story takes place, again, between two kind of poles, and it's interesting with the Easter story. There's this really hard parts to it, but then there's this incredible story of resurrection as well. We see on Good Friday, we see the story of the cross. We see Jesus being executed as a common criminal. And the amazing part of it, through all of that, this is what we talked about last week, through all of that, he keeps on saying yes to a certain thing, and most importantly, no. No to vengeance. No to anger. No to hatred. No to all the things that get in our way of growing and becoming loving. And he said no to that. And that no led into a big yes. A big yes in terms of life in its most splendid, amazing ways. And this story, folks, answers a beautiful question. I loved the movie series, The Lord of the Rings. And in that movie series, in the book, there's this beautiful line. And here's the line right here. The line gets written by J.R.R. Tolkien. And the line is this, the question is this, is everything sad going to come untrue? Is everything sad going to come untrue? And this is a story where we get to see, in a sense, one possible answer to that. And the answer is a beautiful, life-giving yes. Everything sad in life will come untrue. So I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you here to New Church Live. It's wonderful to have you joining us today. And again, we're just so thrilled to have you. If you want to leave comments on our feed, on our social media feeds, or you want to shoot me a text during the service at 215-740-362, you are welcome to. So with that, dear friends, what I want to do is I want to welcome you all to New Church Live. It is absolutely wonderful to have you here. And a big, happy, happy Easter.
Happy Easter! I'd like to invite my 11-year-old daughter, Eleanor, to sing with us on this next song. This is an old gospel tune. Jesus on that main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on that main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on that main line, tell him what you want. Can come up and tell him what you want. The line is never busy. Tell him what you want. You know the line is never busy. Tell him what you want. The line is never busy. Tell him what you want. You can call him up.
What a beautiful song, that idea of calling God. And you know, that idea of us being able to share. And folks, as Christians, you know, we worship a God that's gone through it too, that's had the human experience, that came down here on earth incarnate and had the human experience, walked with us. Again, Emmanuel, walk with us. It's not a distant God. It's not a far away God. Stories like this, they bring us right into like the very friendship of Jesus, the connectedness, the walking through life together. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, about that walking sometimes that takes place in really hard times. So let's go back 2,000 years. So we go back 2,000 years to Jesus' death. You know, that's called Good Friday. That happened this just a few short days ago. And let's inhabit this place today. Let's inhabit the place of all those who followed him. I mean, those people had walked with him through large parts of life's journey. They had seen all kinds of hard things, but they'd seen all kinds of miraculous things. And somehow this guy who they were following, they were seeing the miracles all the time, right? But more importantly, they were seeing the love. They were seeing the love. The love for the handicapped. The love for the people who just didn't get it. The love for the oppressors and the oppressed. The love for everyone that kept on going out there, going out there, going out there. And those ripples is what they would have noticed in their life. And then all of a sudden, here's a man who was purely dedicated to love and service. And then just in a few short days, which is unimaginable to put in our minds, he's executed. And just imagine that. Let's just have like a second of silence just to imagine that. You think how stunning that would have been to their lives. How they felt like they had found it. They'd found this thing, this journey that was worthy of their best efforts. And all of a sudden, done. And not only done, but think of their own fear. I mean, to see Jesus crucified, they were followers of Jesus. You can see what obviously their worries would have been. And they'd forgotten, as we all do, what Jesus had said over and over again. In this world, you will have tribulation, but behold, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He had predicted this. He'd said 3 days. He had predicted that there would be this thing called resurrection. But it's like so many of the promises in life, right? When we have the promises in life and then we really hit the hard times, and friends, we're all going to hit hard times. We all do hit hard times. All those promises kind of go by the wayside. We forget. Understandably, we forget. And that's so much of what we see starting in this story. We see, and we're going to look today at John 20. We see this part here. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So Jesus had been buried in a tomb. A big stone was right on front of it. She goes to that. She sees this huge stone that's been moved away. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. That would be John, the one who Jesus loved. John wrote this note, so of course he had to say he's loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." So there's this sense of this empty tomb. Again, she's not remembering all the things that Jesus had said. In her loneliness and her fear and her sadness, all she sees is the absence. I think, again, many of us can understand how that must have felt. And so these two disciples, Peter and John, they come running to see what's happened. I like this painting, but they don't really get it. This is what it goes on to say in the Gospel of John. Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent in and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed, though they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So there's a belief there, but it's a belief, yeah, Jesus isn't here. It's not really this deep belief in incarnation and resurrection. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Imagine, folks, at a moment like this, and here's Mary and Mary Magdalene, and just how lonely that would feel. Like, you've gone to tell people, they've come, they've sort of seen, they kind of believe, yeah, Jesus isn't there, and then they go back home, and you're still just left there. I think so much of that, again, this story has so many parts that we can get, that we can attach to from our human experience, which is when life's really hard, doesn't it feel incredibly lonely a lot of the time? Doesn't it feel, again, other people don't get it? I mean, that idea and that heartbreak is so much part of how I think we hold life. And as a pastor, you know, just seeing that over and over again, and that's again, it's understandable, and it's also something that you know, the forces, you can call it hell, you can call it forces of darkness, you can call it shadow. It so much wants us to feel alone. And for the kids, I know we have a lot of kids watching today, it doesn't matter what age you are with that. You can feel very alone with hard things. In elementary school, with high school, at college, we can feel that way as adults. We can feel that way if we're retired. That is just part of the human experience. And oftentimes, right along with that, folks, right along with that comes tears. This is going on from John 20. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. So here's something to think about. Maybe in a way, when we're in that kind of place, in that kind of really hard place, tears can actually, we're going to put it up here, tears can actually become a lens through which we see. Tears maybe are the lens to see. Maybe she couldn't see until there were tears. And then not that God wants us to have such a bad life that, you know, you're only going to see it if you cry. I don't think it's that. I think there's part of that where tears somehow can be this incredibly clarifying thing. And really see the sadness of things. Really see it. Because then, in a way that's almost impossible, that it escapes words, when we hit that point, we also start to see the beauty in a different way. Getting ready for this service, I read a beautiful article by a man, he's an editorial writer for the New York Times, and he wrote about his wife who had cancer and his experience of that. And this is what he said. I thought it was really profound. I can sincerely say without any sentimentality or exaggeration that I've never been happier in my life, that I've never had more days filled with comfort, but it's equally true that I've never had so many days of grief. So here's this person who's going through a sickness with his loved one, and he's saying, yeah, these moments in this miracle, they ended up being some of the best days of our relationship, and also some of the days most filled with grief. It's amazing how that happens, and we see that happening over and over again with life, and that's where we can start to see things. Again, yesterday, you know, very much on my mind, beautiful memorial service yesterday, beautiful speeches given by people, and they always cry and laugh. There's always lots of tears and lots of laughter over a life that was well-lived. And then it closes when we have a luncheon afterwards, and we're sitting around a table talking, and folks, the conversation was just so good. It was just so good. It was rich. It was meaningful. It was real. Somehow the tears had become like the lens through which to see in a new way. That's so much part of the Easter story. So let's come back to the story again. What happens is Mary offers this. She gets all worried. They have taken my Lord away, she said. I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. So here she says these things to these two angels, and then she turns around and there's Jesus. But again, she couldn't quite see it yet. She's on the path, but she couldn't quite see it yet. And then we have this beautiful response. Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And here, kids, like, don't, please, 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 please. 99% of the time, when Jesus says things, he says them with a smile. Maybe even a little giggle. I think that's how Jesus would have said this. I think he would have been like, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" He knew who he was. Beautiful. Goes on to say, thinking he was the gardener, which is a great line in the Bible. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." I mean, just such a beautiful piece of scripture there. We see the lightness of scripture. Anybody who tells you know that all religion is serious is wrong. A lot of it is supposed to bring a smile. The whole idea that she turns around, she sees him, and she thinks he's the gardener. Joe Bag of Donuts right there. But that's not it. And you think about Jesus just her thinking that or saying that, and Jesus just goes, "Mary, Mary." Yeah, friends. Maybe to get a sense of that. Maybe get a sense of that. Let's just do a little detour here. We've all lost people that we love dearly. We just love to our core. And they've passed on before us. How do you imagine, folks, they would say your name when you see them again? If your back was turned to them and they said your name, how would they say it? What would be the beauty there? See, that's the core of this story here. And when he says her name, and the tears have given her the lens to truly see, what do you think at that moment she knew? When we come back after this beautiful song, that's what we're going to talk about.
feel discouraged. Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eyes watches me.
Hey. Thanks.
Was that a beautiful song or what? Wow. Wow, right? Like, wow. Songs like that, I always feel like we're going to end the sermon right there because it's just so beautiful and so accurate. And I just want to take a few minutes here, folks, just this little public service announcement part of the service is again, at New Church Live, we have a community from all, people from all over the place. Yeah, we have a studio audience, but most of our audience is all over. And it's great to get people to get a chance to mix together. One of those opportunities we have coming up April 10th is a small group. And it's a small group that's looking at shifting from anxiety to trust. How many of us have a little anxiety problem? Please raise your hand right now. You know, like a lot of us have some issues with anxiety. How do we move our lives from anxiety to trust? You can see where that fits in with the story we're talking about today. We gather online for 3 weeks, 1 hour. It's people from all over the country. I guarantee you this, the first 15 minutes you're part of this group, you're thinking, why did I sign up for this? And then by the last one, you'll be, when are we doing this again? And that's the way all groups go. So we want to warmly invite you to be part of that. You can be part of it by texting me, 215-740-3662. Just make sure you put your name in there as well. or you can sign up on our homepage. We also have other opportunities if you want to learn how to run cameras or help out with this, that, or the other thing, or maybe even do a cameo singing thing if you're good at that. You know, you can also text me with that information, as well as we always just deeply appreciate your financial support here at New Church Live, and you can do that through our homepage as well. So with that, big breath, back to the story. The lines there are so beautiful in what Emily sang. Because what do you think happened in that moment for Mary? What do you think happened? Well, this is what I think happened. Everything sad is going to come untrue. I think there's that realization of, oh yeah, everything sad's gonna come untrue. I think our sadness, our fears, our anxieties, they create these knots. And here's something, and I wanna be so careful with this because I know, again, that we have all kinds of ages here. We have little kids up to parents, up to grandparents. There's bound to be probably dozens and dozens of you who are watching this who have a really hard time believing that today. Because you're in the midst of a heartbreaking loss. You're in that Good Friday time. And remember, there's 3 days. There's Good Friday, there's Saturday. We never talk about Saturday. Saturday just is that waiting. You're just sitting with it. Resurrection doesn't come until Sunday. But there's just that realization, folks. I think, oh yeah, everything sad is going to come untrue. And somehow all those knots that are knotted together in ways that we don't do, but in ways that God does, those knots get untied. And we start to see life in these ways, and again, going back to that song, in a way where we're truly free. Truly free. I mean, it's just such a different kind of freedom, because it's this freedom that's based on that there is a bigger world than just our own immediate worries and concerns. That there's a bigger world that holds it, that there's a plan, and that the plan is good, and the whole point of divine providence is a heaven for the human race. That's the whole point. And our prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. The movement is always trying to bring that down into our lives. And knowing through that all, again, love that line that Emily sang in there, that I know he watches over me. That goes back to a beautiful, beautiful story that Jesus told about how much he cares, how much God cares about us. And he said, yeah, you know what, like a sparrow doesn't fall without God knowing. And you're made in his image and likeness. He's never gonna stop looking at you. He's never gonna take his hands off the wheel. He's never gonna say it's the bottom of the ninth, ever. Because he's got eternity to work with. And he's got love. That part, folks, is not just a small thing. That part is not something where we should look at and go, you know, danger avoided. We have to understand that it's this homecoming call. It's more than just an event, Easter. Homecoming, coming home, folks. It sort of has two parts to it. There's this one part of home where we just know we have to leave. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, sometimes it's bad circumstances, but sometimes it's just like, look, 35 years old, I'm living with mom and dad, it's time to leave. You know, that it's just time to leave. And then there's this other side of it, this beautiful side of it. This being a push and this being a pull, this pull to home. I mean, you all have it. You all have this spiritual thirst, this part that is just like telling you that this life here It feels great, but there's just something a little bit more. I watched Field of Dreams with my stepsons. We cried. That's part of that. And I was thinking, this is really hard to articulate. We have that thirst, not because of the thirst, but because of the presence. Because there is home, because there is heaven, because there is God, because there is love, because there is goodness. So of course we yearn for it because we are made from that stuff. God embodied that in Jesus. And that's why when we truly can come to see that, that's where these words make so much sense. And I preach on this particular word almost every Easter because it's so good. It's the word rejoice. Could we all say rejoice so our online audience hears it together? Ready?
Rejoice!
Rejoice. And it's this beautiful word. And rejoice is, I make this little joke all the time. It's a bad joke, but my apologies. You know, I used to hear that all the time. And Mary, they see Jesus, and Jesus says, rejoice. And I kind of think, nice little golf clap. You know, isn't that nice? But that's not what the word means. The word means to thrive. You see that? That's the point of getting it. The point of getting it is not to create some special club, the frozen chosen. The point of getting it, the point of truly getting it, is so that we can learn to truly thrive in our lives. To truly thrive because now we're no longer living just for ourselves. We're living for other people and we're coming from joy. Joy is now the source, no longer just a product. And folks, we all know people who've done that in really hard circumstances. Like, it's not that all of a sudden everybody in this story just has an easy life. They don't. I'm not much of a historian per se around the rest of the disciples, but I believe 10 of the 12 of them eventually get executed. Like, life was not easy, but they had found that meaning. They had found that pearl of great price. They'd found that joy. They had found that way to thrive. What a beautiful way to come at life. And that's why, friends, you know, a little part of the story here. Notice the first line I read you. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Isn't that interesting? First day of the week. There's a lot of history to that. And a lot, and a big lesson that I want to close on, just from that line. Early on the first day of the week. The Jewish tradition is beautiful. Just was working with a rabbi over at Holy Family College last week. Beautiful, beautiful opportunity to work over there with some students and faculty. And they have this beautiful view of the Sabbath. Sabbath being Saturday. And it's the way of rest. So you come through the whole week, and then Saturday is a day of rest. You literally put it all down. The Christians come along and they don't say that was wrong or bad or anything like that. And we want to honor and celebrate all our Jewish brothers and sisters who celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. And it's interesting because the Christian tradition slides it over a day to Sunday. Because, friends, it was the first, I'm going to have you say the W word there. It was the first day of the week. It was the start. I mean, I think the two together go really well, actually. A day of rest, a day of Sabbath, and then a day to start. See, Easter is supposed to be a start of something. It's supposed to be a beginning. Life lived in new ways. Like, it's not the last chapter. In some ways, in some perspective, it's the first chapter. In some way, it's a place where we come to really see, maybe understand in our hearts, we'd never live at 100% of the time. Yeah, everything sad will come untrue. And it's just that faith. And sometimes, friends, we'll only see that through tears. A lot of the time we won't really believe it. That's all part of this story, but that's okay because it's the truth. And we'll come to that point and we'll see something new start. Just imagine we lived that. I mean, I think so much of faith, I love preaching with bulbs, you know? Because so much of faith is this. Faith is looking at that, and I like using acorns too. Faith is looking at that and going like, that's a flower. In a way, there's nothing crazier for me to say than to say that's a flower. But is that a flower? Yeah, that's a flower. And that's why we celebrate, I think, with flowers, with that idea of coming through winter and things being born again and the seasonality of life. Again, the seasons of life that we go through these seasons and there's beauty in each one. And this is a season where we get to celebrate that rebirth. So friends, the last word this Easter. Yes, everything sad will eventually become untrue. Not that it won't be part of our experience. Not that we won't grieve. Not that we won't struggle with loss. Not that we won't lose track of that again and again and again. And yet Easter reminds us everything sad will eventually come untrue. And it also doesn't just leave us with that kind of niceness. It leaves us with a call to rejoice, which is a call to thrive. And it's a thriving again that comes from this place of that we're not here for ourselves, that we're here for each other, that we're here for the world. Not again as people who get some sort of secret knowledge, but just as all of us, any of us from any denomination, from any faith, from non-faith, that we're all here for each other, we're all here to serve. That's what we're here to learn in this life. So friends, live it well. Have a great week, reminding yourself of the need to rejoice. Have a great week in which you take on Jesus' message. You hear him say your name. And then you hear him with a smile say this word, thrive. Amen. What we're going to do now, friends, is now we're going to shift. Go to the quieter part of the service, which is just a little prayer, a little meditation, and then we will have our final song. So join me in a prayer. Lord, thank you for your presence here today, and thank you for your presence this Easter season. Lord, help us to not just hear the Easter message, but to truly live the Easter message, any season that we're in, Lord. Thank you again for walking among us. Thank you for taking that on, Lord. Thank you for showing us the path of life. Thank you for showing us how we can walk through the blessings and the breakings that we all face all the time. And thank you, Lord, as always, for walking us home. Hear our prayer. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, bring you peace, and bring you home. Amen. Have a great week, folks.
The grain must be ground to make the bread. The earth must be turned to sow, he said. Every man must search his soul. righteous direction, righteous path. He who laughs last will get the best laugh. When he lets love swallow him whole. So we sing, hallelujah. So we sing, hallelujah. So we sing, hallelujah to the King. So we sing, hallelujah. So we sing, hallelujah. So we sing, let us make a joyful sound. Yes, and shine it all around. And in time, all good things. So entwine. So we sing, hallelujah. So we sing, hallelujah. So we sing, hallelujah to the King. So we sing, hallelujah. So we sing, make a joyful sound. Yes, and shine it all around. And in time, all good things. So entwined, so so we sing, hallelujah. So we sing, hallelujah to the King. So we sing, hallelujah. So we sing,
time with you today.
He is risen. So we sing, hallelujah to the King. So we sing,